720 WGN, John Landecker, thanks for listening. By the way, what you heard there at the intro, that is the heir apparent in the world of Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck animation. That is Eric Bauza, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago. And he's the legit dude. He does all the stuff now. And as you can tell, he's pretty darn good at it. Had a lot of fun with him. And I thought, you know, Steve Dale's coming on and he's here. Steve's, you know, he likes animals. And Bugs Bunny's an animal, sort of. So why not put the two of them together? So what's up, Steve, as opposed to what's up, Doc? What's going on?
I'll tell you, did you ever meet Mel Blanc, who did those original voices?
No, I did not, but that guy is the new Mel Blanc.
Yeah, Mel Blanc was incredible.
This guy's pretty darn good, I got to tell you.
Oh, he sounds great. You know, Blanc was not only, could he just do those voices at the drop of a hat? I interviewed him once. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, do I ask him to do Bugs Bunny? He's done those voices how many times or on
right.
and on?
Right.
And he was happy to do it and just so kind. But I'll tell you, this guy sounds like he's also Mr. Improv.
Yes, he is. Yeah. And I had the same feeling that you did. You know, he's going to come on and he does this for a living and he does all the animation now and he did a feature film and some stuff coming up and he probably does it all the time and maybe he's tired of doing it and I can understand. So I'll just maybe talk to him about, you know, his career. I didn't get two words out before he was like Bugs Bunnying me about, I mean, he was just off to the races. Yeah. He's an improver. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love when that happens in interviews. I interviewed Herb Alpert once, and out of nowhere, like a minute into the interview, I hear him playing the trumpet, you know? I mean, like...
Well, you can't ask for more than that. Come on.
No, people who you're intimidated by.
Well, exactly.
But no one would rather talk about rabbits than me.
But yeah, that's not on the agenda. I just thought I'd do it as a little intro to you since it was, you know, it had an animal aspect to it.
I understand. And I mean, you know, people, I'm happy to talk about whatever it is, including rabbits. And they are, so we know that dogs are the most popular pet. Cats are closing in at number two. Mm-hmm. Number three, way behind, but still at number three, are rabbits. And, you know, they're wonderful pets, but people, unfortunately, still get them just because they're walking by a pet store window and the little boy or girl says, I want a little bunny. Mm. And I'll tell you, rabbits, wonderful pets, but really not a good pet, not a good match for kids. Rabbits, here's something you may not know. And next time you talk to bugs, tell them this. Rabbits actually have a fear of heights.
A fear of heights?
Yeah. They do not like to be picked up at all.
Okay.
And little kids like to
pick them up.
Pick up little bunnies. Yeah.
Yes.
So when that happens, rabbits will often squirm and even bite because they don't want to be picked up. They don't comprehend if I do this, then the person's going to drop me. And they're actually quite fragile. And they have a good reason to have a fear of heights because if they fall, even from the sofa to the ground, so they can jump off if they're prepared, often. But if they fall, they really can break bones. They can hurt themselves. So that's one thing. They also don't like to be smothered. And little kids like to do that.
Yeah.
They like to hold and hug. And, you know, we're born huggers. We're human beings. But rabbits actually are terrified of that. So that is another reason. And rabbits like a consistent life. You know, where it's the same Monday as it is Tuesday, and when you have little kids in the house, that's never the case. And they're making commotion and all that. Little kids and rabbits, somehow people thought years ago, that's perfect. Well, it's hardly perfect, actually. So if you have small children, while rabbits can be great pets, I don't think they're the best choice for you.
There you go, Steve Dale. He knows all about the animals, and we'll talk to him some more. 18 minutes after 7 o'clock with John Landecker. And there's a little cat song we don't hear very often, probably for good reason. Steve Dale, it's national, what is it? It's something Pet Month this month. That's why we're doing all this, isn't it? It's National Pet Awareness Day or Month something, right?
Right. It's national, and I'm sure you'll be celebrating, National Pet Anxiety Week.
What?
Yes.
Anxiety Week.
Well, you know, think about it. I mean, thunderstorm anxiety, separation anxiety. I mean, a car anxiety, going to the veterinarian anxiety.
Oh, yes.
Our pets have lots of anxieties. And in fact, the number one reason why animals die, I'm talking about pets, not elephants, but the number one reason why our dogs and cats die, or other animals, too, that we have as pets, pet parrots, for example, it's not cancer or heart disease. It's actually behavior issues, and most of those are anxiety-based.
Interesting. So what are we going to do about that?
Well, it depends what the problem is. But the good news, first of all, at a very basic level, there is help available. So some number of years ago, like, we had a dog that we adopted. My first dog is an adult. I'm going back a long time. We went out to the country. It was she was a Brittany, her name Chaser. She changed my life, ultimately. But this dog was afraid of everything. The good news, so easy to house train, because anytime I took her outside, when the buses went by, or the cars went by, or people went by, other dogs went by, she was so afraid, everything in her would come out of her. She also had separation anxiety so bad that when I went to the bathroom and closed the door, on the other side of the door, she would do the same thing as I was doing on the other side of the door.
No.
Yeah. So today, we have more help available for these dogs and cats that have anxiety issues. So a certified dog trainer, a certified cat or dog behavior consultant, a veterinary behaviorist, an applied animal behaviorist, all of these people have letters after their names, have actually studied these issues, and there are also pharmaceuticals that are available as well, which sometimes are not needed, and sometimes they are. And we know they can be given without changing the personality of your pet or anything like that, if it's the right dose for the right problem for the right pet.
Do you mean daily dosing, or if there's some reason you would be aware of a possible anxiety-inducing situation that's coming up, like saying you're going to take the dog, your pet to the vet, so to speak, and that makes them a little goofy. Would that be then you would give them the medication prior to going?
That's a great question, actually. So yes and yes and yes and no. So there are pharmaceuticals that are for situations. So when you know a thunderstorm is going to happen, you know that you're going to go in the car to go to your veterinarian. All of those things, that's situational. However, many pets are generally anxious about all sorts of things. So having a drug on board that's daily can be helpful. The other thing is that if you live, we don't. But if you live in Florida, for example, you never know when those thunderstorms are going to pop up. So perhaps for that animal, a daily dose is a better idea. Also for separation anxiety, it can be situational, but you probably want something. You never know when you're going to leave the house, right?
Right.
So it depends on the dog. It depends on the circumstance. But we do have more options today than we ever did before.
Is one particular breed of animal more prone to anxiety than another?
That's a good question, too. And the answer is, definitively, I don't know. studies have been done, and if you look at three different studies, you get three different lists of breeds.
Right.
Now, what seems to be a common thread is that working dogs are there toward the top. I'm talking about border collies, Australian shepherds, etc. And also sometimes sporting dogs, so your golden Labrador retrievers. But there are certain breeds like Irish setters. Anecdotally, they're very sensitive dogs. And if you're the type of person that's never going to be home, and doesn't allow enough for that dog to do, then that dog is more prone, more likely. It's no guarantee. Also, dogs that have been, if we're talking separation anxiety specifically, dogs that have been rehomed several times. So going to an animal shelter, great thing. We want people to do that. However, if a dog happens to have been rehomed several times, so if the dog has been given up to a shelter, that dog is not necessarily likely to have separation anxiety, but that dog might have been given up because the dog has separation anxiety. But when a dog is given up two or three or four times, that dog is somewhat more likely to have separation anxiety.
And who can blame why dogs have. Come on. Who can blame that dog giving up four or five times?
Well, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 But the good news is, for all these things, there are ways in which we can deal with it now.
Well, that's good news, especially since this is, what is it? Dog, pet awareness? No, pet anxiety. It's Anxiety Awareness Week for Animals.
Yes, which makes me, you got it.
So how about a good story about this dog that was like 500 miles away or something that I got sent over here?
Yeah, can you believe that? So here's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
The dog is on, and it's a dachshund, and the dog is on Kangaroo Island, a little island where people camp, they visit. It's mostly for Australian tourists. It's off the coast of Australia. Not many people live there. A lot of kangaroos, however, do live there. And this is a young dachshund. And by the way, I did not know this, but dachshunds in Australia are referred to often as sausage dogs.
That makes sense, yeah.
The sausage dog was in the news, and because here this dog somehow got away from its people, they finally had to go back to their lives on the mainland, and this dog is still missing. In fact, this dog was missing for well over a year, 500 days.
So let me get, now wait a minute. So they're on this, visiting this kangaroo island. They don't live there, right?
No.
But the dog's with them. And not many people live on Kangaroo Island, right?
Right.
So they leave and the dog's not there, so the dog's on Kangaroo Island. Are you telling me, am I to discern that kangaroos took care of this dog for 500, whatever it was?
Yes, the dog hopped in a pouch. I think we're writing a movie now, a kid's movie.
Well, how did it, 500 days? I mean, come on, that's well over a year.
I know, and no one knows. So what would happen is there aren't a lot of residents on this island.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, and people tried. They left out traps to catch the dog and everything. They would see the dog and run after the dog, and the dog always got away. They tried their best. No one knows what this dog ate, how the dog survived, maybe reptiles. I really don't know. Nobody does.
But how was the dog reunited with its owners?
So they finally were able to trap the dog.
Oh, okay.
And this is the only dog that nobody knows. I mean, there's so few residents on the island. People have dogs, but they all know each other's dogs. So they knew. This dog became actually very famous on Kangaroo Island and in Australia for a time. It was the dog that got away.
Yeah.
And finally, and the amazing thing, I mean, you'd expect, okay, they finally catch the dog who's exhausted, emaciated, not socialized to people. The dog was in terrific condition, rolled over on its back as soon as the people came out of this dog, never met before, and said, pet me, pet me, pet me, pet me, I love you. I don't know you, but I love you. And this dog was doing great, and it was a couple days later that the family was reunited with their little sausage dog.
And there's no explanation as to how it survived. And I'm saying it was raised by kangaroos. That's it's the only way. I mean, especially since it's still friendly. I mean, this dog didn't have any separation anxiety, obviously. I mean, as soon as he came in contact with humans, he's like, hey, let's have a party.
Absolutely. And I love your idea. You have Hollywood connections, sir.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
think you ought to sell it to Hollywood. I mean, this would be a great cartoon.
Yes. The wait a minute. The sausage dog on the run or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And who would voice the kangaroo?
Well, we'll get, I forget the guy's name, but the guy who we had on doing Bugs Bunny and everything else.
He could probably do all the
animal characters, more than likely, just off the top of my head.
He probably could do that. Or you could be the voice of the narrator who tells the story.
Oh, yes.
And I see in your future an Academy Award.
For narrating a cartoon?
Yes.
Okay. You better readjust how you access your what you see in the future, because I don't even think that's a category. Steve Dale, where do we get all the things that we didn't get to? Where can people go to websites, hear you on the radio, and follow your travels around restaurants and things like that?
Well, that's my website, and that's stevedale.tv. And in fact, there's, if you have a cat, great news for cats. So many cats, 1 in 8, are diagnosed with a heart disease that for the first time there will be treatment for. And also, we actually have more pets than we do babies in America. I write about that, too. And much more at stevedale.tv, where you can also sign up for a newsletter. Free.
That's a good, who doesn't like free? Steve, thanks for being with us. Looking forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Always. Thank you very much, sir.
You betcha.